OMG. OMG. With Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi. Everybody's here.
We're here. We're not here together. It's gobble, gobble, gobble week.
Please don't ever say that or do that with your neck again.
I don't mind it, actually.
Oh, God. You're a cute turkey. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving week. And this is our third episode, right, of 90210 OMG.
How are we doing, sis?
We're doing great.
She looks very relaxed.
No, because you're the expert at this. This is new for us, so we need to know. Like, how do you think we're doing?
I think we're doing
good. Are people
good.
Having fun?
I mean,
liking it?
Yeah. And how did you guys like watching back episode 2?
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, wait, it's over so fast. It went by so quickly compared to the pilot.
Compared to the pilot.
When it was over, I kind of wanted to binge and like keep going, but I waited.
You wanted more of your own show.
I did.
But that's
I
a didn't good sign.
I waited for everybody else. I didn't want to, be ahead of the times.
My husband is watching this with me for the first time because he didn't see it when it first aired. And so he's trying to just kind of get a grasp of everybody. So he's like, so Dylan's like a bad boy, but like he doesn't live in a house. Like he lives in a suite.
Wait, so is it holding his interest? I'm very curious.
It really is, yes.
Good.
Of course.
I'm very happy right now. Yeah, I'm so glad he's doing that. That sounds so cute. I like that.
Wait, now why? No, okay, is it because he's younger that he didn't watch it around the first time? Or because he's a boy? Or
both.
I think a mixture of both. Yeah. He's 2 years younger than me, so I'm robbing the cradle. But yeah, no, I think he was just younger.
Cougar.
Such a cougar.
That's glad. I'm glad you're watching. Oh, okay.
Oh, there
Stop
are the nails.
Stop with the nails. You guys, you can't see her right now, but let me just be your eyes right now. Tori looks radiantly beautiful. She's all gussied up, well lit, beautiful lipstick on, and she's got these nails, like fancy lady nails.
Are they fancy lady nails? Or they're, I mean, all the kids are wearing them. I mean, hello, have you watched Instagram? Like all the millennials have these long nails. I just never had nails because I have to change like a poopy diaper and I don't want to cut his balls off or anything with
these
nails.
Wow. Now they're so aggressive, but we get it.
I'm not going to lie. I put mittens on to change them. But I have these long nails because I'm playing a character that's supposed to be a MILF. So she
What's
would have
that?
Like these mother and I'd like to fart. Beep. Mother, I'd like to F. It's my kids' favorite thing. They're like, mom, tell everyone the character you're playing. And I'm like, okay, I'm playing Shoshana, a 40-year-old. I just like that's 40 because I'm 47.
Yeah.
Shoshana, 40-year-old, blonde, Jewish, MILF.
What? Okay. I know.
What do you mean? You're both MILFs.
I know how excited you are to be playing a MILF deep in your heart.
Hell yeah. No, I'm excited because I get to wear makeup, wear my hair, and dress, and wear these fancy nails, all these things that she would never let me do if we were together.
That's not true. It's just the nails. It's the nails. They're long and they're flashy. And I don't care for
them. She
doesn't
like when I'm flashy. She doesn't like when I'm gussied up.
I do like you gussied up. It's just the nails. They creep me out. We can move on.
I'm going to wear these nails back to LA and
scratch your back.
They literally just give me I get the shivs when I think about it.
I'm going to scratch your head.
No, don't touch my hair. But you do. You look real pretty.
Thanks. So do you.
Before we got on here, you guys were discussing, was it a picture that you guys were looking at from the past?
No.
Or
well, no, because it started with, I think I sent you this week, like 3 pictures of you and I from the internet, or from some feed that I saw. I like messaged them to you and said, we have a problem. We're starting to look alike.
Oh my God, you guys. Okay. So first of all, she DM'd me.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Wow. My best friend slid into my Instagram DM and was like, have you? No, you were like, look, you showed two pictures, like one when we were younger and then one now. And you were like, do you think we're starting to look alike? And I was like, wow, dead on. Good call. I got it like midnight. So I DM'd you back.
Yeah. You're morphing into each other.
But that reminds me of the other picture that you sent me.
So we went to Israel for 24 hours. 24 okay. hours.
This was like a year ago. No?
Yeah. Yeah. To do a campaign for a kids brand, clothing brand, which was a really cool commercial that we filmed. We literally flew 15 hours. I think it was 15 hours. Got off the plane, went to the hotel, slept, got up, went to a soundstage, filmed, got on a plane, and went home. Wow. That was our entire trip. And they had us done up all fancy. And we took a picture in the elevator, I think, right before we went to the airport to come home.
We thought we looked really good.
Did we think we looked good?
No, I felt really like I looked good. Like these Israeli artists just did some magic on me and they made me look good.
Yeah, so you're like feeling yourself.
I gotta tell the story.
Was it me or you that had it?
Listen. Okay, so you guys, okay, no. This is even better. So we arrive there after this 15-hour trip and we get there and they're like, oh, Jenny Garth, Tori Spelling, 90210, everyone's so nice. And they just kept bringing us sushi. And we're like, well, we want to try like your food. And they're like, oh, sushi, because in Hollywood, you guys eat sushi. And we're like, well, we really want sushi in Israel. Oh. But they were so nice. Mm-hmm. And then I sit down in the hair chair first. And they were like, okay, so we're just going to go underneath and we're going to make these tight braids to pull your face back under your hair.
What?
And I sat there and I'm not going to lie, my eye teared up, just one. And I was like, oh man, I look bad. Like I'm looking really old if they got to do that. And then they're like, no. We do this with everyone, even like young models. And they did it to Jen too. So I felt a lot better. Mm-hmm. And
it hurt like a motherfucker.
So it goes like this?
Yeah. Oh, they medicate you and do this to your hair all at the same time.
So we were like, whoa, this looks good.
Yeah, we looked like we'd had, I don't know, some crazy.
Like a facelift.
Our whole faces were like pulled and it hurt so bad. But we were like, oh, we've heard of this. Like Hollywood actresses, they used to like tape their faces back in the day in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So we were thinking we were looking really good. We were taking pictures and posting. And then may I say what the first comment was? May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did Jenny Garth have a facelift?
No!
And then she got mad at me and she was like, I knew it didn't look good. I was like, I think you look great. We just both looked super pulled.
I couldn't even close my mouth, I don't think.
They were making comments about both of us. And anyway, I love that picture still. So, later, so going back to later that day, I stand by it. Going back to later that day, we had a picture side by side. And then I think you brought it up.
Hmm. I did?
Yeah.
I brought up that there was a striking resemblance to some people that I was thinking of.
Oh, you know what? You were right. See, you do have a good memory. Someone did mention it on Instagram. You were right.
We look like hot chicks. Is that what it was called?
Oh,
white chicks.
The Wayans brothers, when they are in makeup to look like white women.
Oh my god. People now that you say it though,
I can't, every time I look at you, now that's you what see I it? Think. Yeah. Sorry.
Every time I look at myself, I see it. Like, oh, it's bad. So then I mocked up a picture of our faces from that shoot on the poster of Marlon and Sean Wayans from White Chicks.
Oh, this
and
is good.
If you're lucky, I might share it with you, sis.
Oh, my gosh. That's
we actually so decided funny. We were going to post it. We were all riled up. A couple glasses of wine, and then we didn't post it.
Yeah, but, we rethought that.
What a crazy trip, though. It was 24 hours.
But it was fun. We had so much fun on our flight. And it was just like we were first class.
Slept
it
the
was
whole
so
time.
Nice. Yeah, I had a good 18 hours of sleep or whatever it was. And you sat there biting your real nails because you didn't have those hideous fake nails then. You were biting your real nails and you were like playing on your phone and asking for more champagne. The entire 18 hours. Every time I woke up and glanced over at you, you were doing the same thing.
Are you a champagne drinker on flights?
I'm just a terrified flyer, and she knows that. And here's the thing. I'm so scared of flying that there's very few people I will fly with in this world. And she is one of them.
Yay, me.
Lucky you. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard because she runs the gamut of, like, on one side, she's very nurturing and she'll hold my hand during takeoff.
Aww.
And then on the other side, she's just like, okay, now I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to do my thing and bye. And I'm like, wait, 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 don't go to sleep. Hang out with me. I'm scared.
No, I'm a tough lover. I believe in tough love.
Yeah, it works.
Mixed with, you know, like a softness, but.
So she went to sleep and I had to eat like all the chips and candy packets on the flight. Remember you woke up and there were just wrappers everywhere. I literally ate everything.
Like, the raccoon.
What else to do?
It was a really long binge.
Did you guys get to travel a lot with Beverly Hills, Nantono? I know that you went to, did you actually go to Paris, Tori, for those episodes? I'm jumping ahead.
I did not. That was on the back lot of.
No, you're killing my dream.
Universal?
Yeah. Oh. It actually, I actually thought
Jen
you guys
traveled a lot, though. There were trips.
Where were the trips?
You went to Israel.
Oh, yeah. We went, I and Gabrielle, myself and Parker Lewis can't lose.
But for pleasure.
For some reason.
Not
went
for the
on
show.
A tour of Israel for Beverly Hills 90210. No, it was for Fox. And I think he had a show on Fox at that time. So that's why he was with us. But yeah, we went to Israel.
We need to take a break. And then we should get into the episode. And dissect it. Oh, we have wine. I see
wine.
The wine.
It's
all
wine
right.
Time. Cheers. It's rewatch time.
Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Zip is the world's first app-connected at-home beauty device. It uses nanocurrent and microcurrent to deliver skin that gets better every time you use it.
Zip syncs with an app that's available for free in the App Store and the Google Play Store. You have to select the treatment you want on the app, send it to your Zip device, and Melody will guide you through the rest using easy-to-follow instruction videos on the app. She's with you every step of the way.
A favorite of beauty insiders, makeup artists, and celebrities, the device that's been deemed worth the splurge by Allure, Refinery29, and more is the brainchild of Melanie Simon.
She performs the holy grail of facials, and has brought decades of skincare expertise into the creation of Zip, which has received thousands of five-star reviews since its launch.
Okay, this one sums it up pretty well. Single best skincare product out there. Are you with me?
This device does it all. Using the Zip app, you will have access to all Zip's preventative and restorative treatments, including those designed to lift and sculpt facial contours, diminish the look of fine lines and wrinkles, erase dark circles, acne, pigment, and more.
Oh, I need all of that. They rarely do discounts, but they gave our listeners one. So here it is. Use code 90210 for 20% off site-wide at zipbeauty.com. That's Zip with two I's.
Zip. One device, unlimited facials, endless results.
Sign me up, sister.
You guys are being hesitant to get back into this episode only because it was Luke Perry's first appearance on the show. And we can't speak about him and without addressing the obvious. And
yeah,
I could imagine that's really hard for you guys.
Yeah, that's what we were just kind of trying to...
navigate.
Figure out how we wanted to go about talking about this because, yeah, this is Dylan's first episode. So Luke Perry's first episode of Beverly Hills 90210. And that was a pretty exciting thing for everyone, I think, not just for those of us that got to work with him, but it was a big deal. Like Dylan McKay was a big, big deal in the history of like television and
it's a hard thing because as hard as people probably think it is for us to navigate talking about Luke publicly, it's still hard for us to talk about him privately and figure out how to do it. And because it still doesn't feel real, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, this is honestly the first time I've talked about it with a microphone, right, other than just like to you personally, mm-hmm, and privately, but it's just really hard. Yeah, I still don't accept it in a weird way.
You don't have to. Yeah. And it's seeing this episode, I definitely felt it takes you back to the moment, and mm-hmm, you almost are into it, and you, mm-hmm, feel like you don't have to accept that he's gone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just get to experience it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely tricky. That's why I watched the show back, and I thought when it was over, I was like, wait, I don't want it to be over. I want to keep watching it, because I felt that, like, you know.
Like he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you guys can tell we had a lot of love for him. And it's a hard thing to navigate. I guess none of us ever thought we would get to that point where one of us would be gone. That's not something you think about in life until it happens to you. You know, your best friends from high school, like everything. And it's part of life. It starts to happen. And until you're in that moment and you hear about others, you just can't relate until it actually happens to your group of best friends. And then you all just feel like, whoa, like what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
You just feel that emptiness. I know when we did BH90210, when we first got together for the first promo shoot, remember that moment? Oh my gosh, it was heartbreaking, where Ian slipped and he said, we were waiting for all of us, and we count, you know, it's like, yeah, when you have kids and you count your kids, and there's always eight of us and you count. And Ian turned around and said, where's Luke? And then I just saw him catch himself and he turned away, and I could just see his heartbreaking, and he started to cry. And it was what we were all thinking, though, like he was just not there, and we didn't feel complete, and we still don't.
As a fan, we don't either. I didn't want to accept it when I heard the news either, so I can only imagine how you guys feel.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, as hard as it was for us, it was equally hard for a lot of people out there, especially his beautiful kids and his wife. Yeah. Just really unfortunate.
And all the fans, just to see how much it impacted people on such a, that part felt good, because mm-hmm, he had such an impact on the world. He really did. And although they never got to see the behind the scenes, the view into him that they did see, they nailed it. Like, he was just as special as they all thought he was or wanted him to be, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Dylan McKay's first episode.
Yeah. Was he originally just supposed to be in, like, the first few episodes? Was he casted to be a regular, or?
I think not. I think in the beginning it was just a one-off, right? Or maybe a few episodes. But he wasn't going to be a regular.
I don't remember
on the show.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think that I remember I was told that Fox wasn't, like,
sold on
the, they weren't idea, sold on his, on the fictional character of Luke, or of Dylan, of him at first, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know that, and this is again just from my memory of the behind the scenes from my dad's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, might not have been how it went down, but from my memory, they definitely felt like there was a lack of the bad boy. They wanted that, you know, squeaky clean Brandon Walsh, you know, jock Steve Sanders,
right.
David Silver was the young kid.
Nerdy guy.
Yeah. Like, there was, you know, where's, like, the hunky mysterious bad boy? So I remember, from my memory, they were testing people. So that makes me think it was more than just a few episodes. And I remember my dad on a phone call, and he was really, really upset. And, of course, I was listening, trying to, you know, see what was going on. And they said, we want to look at other people. And he was like, this kid, like Luke Perry, he's it. This is who mm-hmm. I want to cast as Dylan McKay. And they weren't sold. And he said, he's coming in to test for you. And they said, well, you can't bring one person in to test. Now, when you come in and test at a network, they always have choices because you have to give them choices, A, B, and C. And you have to be committed that whoever they choose, you're okay with casting. And he said, I'm bringing one guy in and that's it because he's the guy. And they said, we're not comfortable with that. And I remember my dad, and this is so my dad's personality. He said, well, if you won't cast him, then I will, and I'll pay for him myself.
Wow.
And that was it.
Your could dad's you a smart man.
I mean, could you imagine
him? Imagine clearly. I wish we had that power.
I mean, that's just it. In the first episode alone, when you meet Dylan McKay, he's the bad boy. He's gorgeous. I mean, the camera loves him. But then you feel for him because you see that disconnect that he has from his parents. And then you have the full 360 of emotions when it comes to this character. I couldn't imagine kicking off this series.
Luke is such a really of the earth human being. Like that character, you saw a lot of who Luke Perry really was, you know, a lot of what they were very similar in their makeups. Mm-hmm. And because with Luke, you loved him the minute you met him, and you were just engaged by his, you know, charisma, but it was not like over the top. It was just like this really calm, easy vibe that he would give off to everyone. And I think that Dylan did that too. And that's why America and the world fell in love with him.
He was. He made everyone he talked to feel special, but it was genuine. Mm-hmm.
He's the only one out of all of you guys that I got to meet.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us your experience. We like to hear it.
I met him about, when I first started with Ryan, when I took over on the morning show with him, and it was probably a year or two in, and he was promoting Riverdale. And then he came in, and I basically told him how he was my first crush, and I had his posters on my wall, and I told him I had his Barbie doll, and he got a little, he was like, it was an action figure. I was like, oh, yeah. But no, it was just such an honor to meet him. And you're right, like, he was just as lovely in person. It's like sometimes you meet famous people and you're like, you have this idea in your head of like who they are, and then you meet them and you're disappointed or you're let down, and it was just not the case with him.
Never meet your heroes, they say.
I know. But he was just so lovely.
He was that one you wanted to meet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He was so gracious and like giving of his love and time mm-hmm. to all the fans. Like that mm-hmm. was one thing that working
such
alongside
a hugger.
Him, yeah, he would hug everyone, and he just cared so deeply about everyone.
Yeah. The only thing different about him and Dylan, I think, is humor. Like,
oh, really?
he was hysterical and never minded, like, making himself the butt of the joke and just, like...
yeah.
Aww.
He certainly was a character.
Do you have a nickname for you?
He just called
me
Jen.
The one that you can say?
No, he just called me Jen.
You fibber.
But he's... I don't know.
Was there ever anything there?
You had one.
I had one, but I feel like he had this cute name for you, and I can't remember what it was. He called me Camel.
Camel?
he called you Camel?
Is that cute? Are we happy with that nickname?
Camel. Well, it was better than Brian. Brian used to call me Lamb Chops and Chewbacca. So...
Why do you have all these names?
They're so extreme.
I know. And when you're a 6-year-old girl, like none of those names make you feel good. And Brian used to call me Lamb Chops because he said I had so much fur right here.
Like, oh my God.
Sides of your face.
Peach yeah.
fuzz. Again, that's peach fuzz.
Peach fuzz.
It's but natural. Again,
but as a teenager, that's like, like you don't want a boy to tell you that.
This is stuff that you never get over. When we did BH90210, I made a point of telling, he was like, oh yeah. And I was like, he's like, that was just like, it was cute. And I was like, it scarred me so bad.
Yes.
Probably because I liked you, but scarred me so bad that I now, when I did BH90210, I was like, want to feel my face? I was like, my whole face has been threaded.
You should wouldn't let it go.
Thank you. Yeah. I wouldn't let it go. But that's Chewbacca. He would go, whatever Chewbacca did. Hey, Chewie.
Oh, boys are so mean.
So mean. Oh, you know, he did the same thing to me. He told me, I'll never forget. I was wearing a sleeveless shirt and this is one of the two times. I was wearing a sleeveless shirt and he was standing behind me and he said, you know, you can always tell a woman's age by her elbows. And I was like, what's wrong with my elbows? He's looking at my elbows. And from that day forward, I have a fucking phobia of my wrinkly elbows. Thank you,
oh,
Brian.
My gosh.
I think I've told him that. But I also
did. We had that moment. I'm yeah. Like, listen what you did to us.
And yeah. The time when I was lactating, because I had just had a baby. I was the only one of the whole cast that had a baby. And I was trying to be like, you know, 19 and cute in an orange cropped stretchy tank top and at the beach club, but I was lactating and it wasn't lactating, but my boobs were just sweating. I don't remember, but I don't know, it was really embarrassing, like under the boob wetness situation. Yeah. During our scene, during the scene, and he said something in the scene.
Brian did.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't not notice it. It was like, who? See, I don't know.
It's because we grew up together, like no filter. Like we can just tell each other.
Say anything.
Can I go back to the nice name that Luke gave me, though?
Yes, yes, oh, please, yes. Please.
What did he give you?
So he told me that I called me Camel, and I was so offended, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, this is so bad. Like Luke Perry just called me Camel. And he's like, no, it's because camels have the longest, most beautiful eyes and eyelashes, and that's you. So I love that name to this day.
He loved you so much. I can remember him just gushing about your camel eyes.
He was a true in every sense big brother.
Like, I mean, that's one of the big debates when
hardcore protector
came with his character. And is it Kelly and Brenda or Kelly and Brandon or is it Kelly and Dylan?
Oh, man. Tell us what you guys think because we flip-flop.
Yeah, I do. I go back and forth. Is that bad? Can't I have both? You know what? If I can't just choose me, I'm going to choose both.
Right. Well said,
thank
sister.
You.
How about his overalls?
He was definitely sporting those overalls with the one flappy down, only one side up. Was that a 90s?
Back in.
Yeah. Right. And they're like rolled up at the bottom. So
very
cute.
Crisscross.
Yeah, right? So cute.
But that was the style. That's what it was in the early 90s.
I was just riveted every time he was on camera. I don't know if that was because I was like a fangirl and excited for Dylan or if I was because of missing him or what it was. Aww. But it was like, I loved it. I loved watching every second of it.
You know, you guys were talking about Brian earlier. Did you notice that his voice hadn't changed yet?
His little prepubescent voice.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm about to get defensive. Like, what are you guys saying? Like, he's fine.
No.
I had two questions about that. The voice and then the hair situation on the... Like
a lot of hair.
There was a lot of hair and it was kind of really glued into place and it never moved. Even when his head moved, his... hair didn't move, but I liked it. It looked cool, but it was a mystery to me. Watching the show, I was just like, wow, that's some hair.
There was a lot of takeaways. I mean, even just right in, they start talking. I mean, the Valley always gets a bad rap, like no matter what. You know, I think Betty, Sarah says like, I live in the Valley, you know?
I mean, what? Like, I don't understand that. There's always been a big LA Valley sort of like feud, right?
It's like if you live in the Valley, you're not cute. You have to have like two sides, right?
I guess so. And it's so ridiculous because the Valley is super cool.
Yeah.
It's super chic now. And we're not all saying we all live there.
I moved to the Valley, haven't left in 13 years. So. Yeah.
No, the Valley. San Fernando Valley. The Valley
of
the dolls.
You know, it wasn't chic then.
It wasn't Beverly Hills, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like.
There's just as much.
She hates when I mention this, but Beverly Hills Housewives, one of my guilty pleasures. They like all live in the Valley.
They all live in Encino. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wonder why I don't like that show. Okay. Betty was from the Valley. Yep. Wait, but you know what I really liked from the Alice. from the first, I guess the first real episode of the series, was Andrea. Did you notice that you...
Wait, you just said her name wrong.
I know. I was like, do we... I thought it was Andrea.
In the first episode, so I'm pretty sure in the first episode, you were allowed to say Andrea, and she didn't change it to Andrea until a little later. So...
Are you sure? It was scenes that she wasn't in, so she couldn't correct
it. I've gotten that information from a very valuable friend, so a source. Well,
given your voice tone, we're going to go ahead and believe you.
Well, no, but she was the cutest thing to me. I always thought, I want to be Andrea. She's so cute and so smart and so spunky. And I loved her whole thing.
It's pretty badass that I'm assuming you guys are sophomores. And she's running the newspaper for the high school? Like,
yeah, she's like working at the New York Times in there.
That's right.
Love it. She's a really cool character.
I always kind of wanted her and Brandon to be a couple.
Hey, was that going on like right out of the gate in the newspaper office? Was she vibing him? And did she get mad at him?
I felt like it.
Yeah.
I always felt like it. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was because they were both kind of.
She was jealous right away of Marianne Moore.
You know, like, right.
What if things had gone a different way? What if Brandon and Andrea ended up together? Like, could that have been something?
So cute. Yes.
I feel like why everyone wanted that, so why didn't it happen? I love that, like, the hot, popular boy somewhere deep down wanted the studious, smart nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your guys' memories from filming that episode?
Absolutely nothing.
Come on.
No, I remember being, you've got to remember this, when we were, like, on the high school quad, we filmed those West Beverly High scenes at Torrance High School. And I remember walking on that quad with you and Shannon and Brandon for that one scene. And all the students from the real actual school were there. They were watching.
That was
us,
my,
like,
question.
Between
so
classes.
Was this school in session during the time you guys were filming?
It was so scary. It was scary. So scary. I was terrified because it was like people my age, like, watching, and I didn't really feel
confident.
Because
you didn't actually go to high school. So
no.
You're like,
that's so fascinating.
Yeah. So we, because their bells would ring and they'd come on out and we'd be in the middle of a take.
Yeah.
And we'd have to wait for them to go back in.
That's when Tori has her first line of this episode. Do you remember what that was, Tori?
Brenda, your brother is dope. Is that right?
That was pretty good. I think your brother is so dope. But yeah, you nailed
Brenda,
it.
Brenda, your brother is so dope.
So cute.
So cute. My real nose.
Yeah. I love that vest you were wearing too, with the stars and stripes situation. Like, very patriotic.
That was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you think, though, the clothes were better in the second episode than they were in the pilot? Like,
100%.
And I think that's because there was a change in the costume designer. The costume designer from the pilot was different from the first episode, I think.
Yeah.
And they just had a different, like, interpretation of the show, and they wanted, I think she kind of grounded it more and made it a little more believable, but still just enough, like, bling for Beverly Hills.
The other one was a little Clueless-esque in, like, we're
satirical,
just going to go crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And the other
made the characters feel so real.
Started a trend.
Yeah, like, you could be these characters. They were so real. I liked that about the wardrobe.
They started to take on a life of their own, and you could be like, who are you? Are you a Kelly? Are you a Brenda? Are you a Andrea? Are you a Donna?
You guys were all so different.
Yeah. It's a huge
personalities
difference.
Personalities,
like,
and fashion.
And the wardrobe really sort of depicted the character very clearly into the viewer's mind. That, like, this is what this person wears, and this is how they, you know, you identify with them. So I thought that was a really key part of it. You know what I thought though in those quad scenes? Steve Ian was like, Steve was so mean to Kelly. What a jerk. Like, hello.
It's because he was in love with her. Hello.
That's but what he was like, do. He looks at her ass and he goes, liposuction maybe? Or something. Yeah, so mean.
By the way,
and then in turn, it makes great. Kelly's character, it makes Kelly's character moody and like you're always on edge.
Yeah, because you're always being like judged and picked on and called out. Like, yeah,
they couldn't tell you what they wanted to do with those two, with Steve and Kelly, that relationship. It was kind of like, who is Steve? Because he was supposed to be like the jerky jock. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he started out that way for sure. And my character started out very one dimensional, like the Beverly Hills bitch girl. And I think even in this episode, like for most of the first season, they were still trying to figure out what our characters really.
Yeah. You guys go to the beach and then you leave Brenda again.
Who does that? Who leaves their friend at the beach? I don't think Kelly was very nice.
But you hit the nail on the head when you were describing Dylan and saying it very much was Luke. They definitely were super smart in picking up the actors playing the characters really right away and started veering the characters away from how they were originally one-dimensional and depicted into kind of branching out and being their own person. And so Kelly became more Jenny.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
You know,
true.
More vulnerable and and Ian, Steve became more Ian, like funny and charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially down the road, like, I mean, many seasons
Brandon
later
was
when
never Jason.
When your mom has a baby and then you become like an older sister. That kind of like made
Kelly.
Oh, we
love that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I like babies.
Clearly.
Maternal instincts really kicked in when that little sister was born.
Yeah. Well, I think that Steve was just real, real mean to Kelly. And I don't know. I thought that the whole beach party was weird, the way Kelly wore white cowboy boots to the beach party.
I loved that.
But what it was a beach party. Why wasn't there one bathing
suit?
Like
she cared? Oh.
I think it must have been cold that day when nobody wanted to.
Well, it wasn't the summer episodes yet. Maybe they went to the beach because it's
like a bonfire
LA
party.
And everyone goes. Yeah.
I've been to a lot of those.
But you literally, I think you were the first person to really create the mom gene, which is totally in right now and doesn't even mean mom. But like that high-waisted jean, I think you created that look.
You think? That's a pretty big statement. I don't know if I want to be responsible for that.
What do you mean? Our kids wear that now.
I just wore them yesterday.
They have you to thank for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You're an icon, Jenny Garth. Deal with it.
Okay, thanks.
Where was that beach? Was that Malibu, Pacific Palisades? Do you guys remember?
I think like it's up higher. Yeah.
It was like Santa Monica, like borderline Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
Right near Sunset.
Were those fun shoots when you got to go to different parts of LA?
Always. Whenever they let us out of the soundstage, we were like, woohoo!
Friday! She has such a different memory of the soundstage than I do. You always say we were like trapped.
It was like it was like a scary rape hotel. I hated it there.
Rape hotel? What is wrong with you?
I don't know, but I have very, like, it just represents some really weird vibes for me. I don't know.
Oh my God, I loved it. I loved when we were on set.
We're talking about our sound stages. This is where we actually
started.
It was a warehouse in Van Nuys, California, which is really far from Beverly Hills. And it's in this like industrial by the Amtrak station. It could not be grodier. And that's where we shot. That's where we
started
working.
I have
working.
To interrupt. You just said grodier.
Is that a word?
I mean, I get it.
Like in the 80s, like grody to the max.
Totally. Yeah.
Totally. She's talking about Valley. She just totally went back. Like that was a throwback to Valley Girl. Oh my gosh.
It was super grody. Anyway. We filmed there for the first, this was the first episode that was some of those sets, like the interior Walsh house was on that, in that warehouse. And we just started filming more and more at the warehouse, and less they would let us out on location. And I just remember being like, when are we going out again? I got to get out of here.
Wow. Did they have a lock on your dressing room
door? Maybe that was the problem.
They only let you out for your scenes.
They had me tied up with my straitjacket chains.
At it walls.
I know the interior was on the set, but was the Walsh house an actual house?
Yes.
Yeah, where is it in Beverly Hills?
You guys noticed, right? It was different.
In the pilot.
It was a different house. Okay.
That's the house that it is for the rest of the series.
Right.
But it became Casa Walsh.
So a fun fact, apparently it was 105 degrees on the day the scene that the mailman was filmed. It was supposed to be like Minnesota, but really it was just like soap suds, a mixture of soap suds. And that was, and then they put the address, and I actually Googled the address. It was like 933. And? It doesn't go anywhere. It says that it's in Beverly Hills, but when you do like Google Maps, it's not the house.
Wait, do you think people everywhere were getting like fan mail at that address?
I mean, it's not an actual address.
Oh,
I
mean, it's not. Maybe.
Like, I don't think it is. But when I looked on Google, there's fans that have taken pictures in front of the Walsh house. I just don't know where that is. I don't know like what the address is.
Oh, we know.
We know.
Oh, you know? Where is it?
It's in Altadena.
What?
Yeah. Oh. And so is Luke's house, Dylan McKay's house.
Oh, his house was so cool.
We filmed there a lot. And actually, the people that own that house have like embraced it, and they let people like come in the backyard and just look around, like they're okay with it. It's it's like a little museum out there. Beverly Hills 90210 Museum. There were a lot of different things about this episode though than the pilot. So it was interesting to see the way a show will shoot a pilot and, you know, sell a show based on that pilot, and then from the time they stop production on the pilot to the time they start production on the first episode, so much creatively happens with the studio and with the writers and with the producers and with the director, like everything. There's so much that happens that the sort of, so many things change is what I'm trying to say, from the pilot to the first episode. And that's interesting because, you know, they're really getting a lot more input from the studio and from the network about where they want the show to go and how do we get from here to there. So there are a lot more kind of cooks in the kitchen after you sell a pilot. And
right out the gate, you had alcoholism, a drowning, Brandon's saving a life, going to the hospital.
That's a lot for one episode.
It really is.
I was telling Jen, I was shocked in this episode, in the opening scene, Brandon has his dream, and he has his shirt off. And we remember, like, Luke always had his shirt off, but, like, Brandon never had his shirt off. He was always, like, in his peach pit or his
or
t-shirt.
Or white t-shirt.
And I think that's, like, the only time, even at the beach club, I don't remember him ever having his shirt off. And we actually watched it together, and I was like, oh, my God, Jason has his shirt off. Brandon has his shirt off. That was, big.
Did you get excited?
I told you. He's so lookable.
We said he's very lookable.
Here's what happened. I said, oh, my God, he's so hunky. And you go, Jason's hunky?
I said, he's not hunky.
He's not hunky.
He's just like... He's just really, like, you want to look at him. He's really lookable.
He's lookable. God, he's just so damn lookable, that guy.
Not to be mistaken with lickable.
Wow. Did you ever go there with him?
I think she's asking you, Tori.
No, I'm not asking Tori.
Did I ever lick him? I don't recall a time when I licked him without someone telling me to.
Oh, my God. Used to lick a lot. I
only licked when I was told to lick.
Oh, my God. Used to be a licker. I forgot about that.
What are you talking about? Like,
when we'd all be joking around.
Like a puppy dog?
Ew. What is this? Why?
That's weird.
Why would you do that?
Yes. I just had a flashback from our teenage years, and she used to lick.
Ew. Stop saying that.
As like a flirty thing?
Your liquor. Jason's lickable and Jenny's lickable.
You said it. You said he's lickable, which is why I had to ask.
Oh my God. You probably licked him. I'm going to ask him if you licked him ever.
I'm sure he'll say yes.
Oh my God, she's doing that thing, sis, again.
I'm fidgeting.
She's getting
again.
All fidgety.
She gets all fidgety.
Talk about
okay,
me.
You know Look. What, you guys? I have been friends with this woman my whole life, and I know everyone she's had a crush on or even liked a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And Jason, like, they were always friends, but never anything. And every time we have talked about him so far, she gets fidgety. You're messing me up now as my BFF.
That is hilarious. I would never know this about myself unless you just pointed it out.
You're doing it again. We are talking about Jason, and you are.
I'm uncomfortable. Can you stop talking about me?
You're like a 17-year-old girl right now.
What is that telling you?
Here for it.
Are you like?
Here for it. I'd be 16. Doctor, because I'm a year younger.
Excuse me, doctor. What's my prognosis then? I have a deep rooted, hidden desire
to lick Jason Priestley. Apparently. I'm just saying.
Let's simmer on that. We'll take a break and maybe come back with that, or maybe come back with the 90s fashion. One or the other.
So apparently Brandon's car had a name, and we were mistaken. By some
what do you mean?
Chance.
What did we think it was?
I don't remember, but we didn't get it right, apparently, because we've had some emails, we've had some communication, and apparently it's named Mondale for a very good reason. Why don't you tell them what the reason is?
Me? Okay, so we totally had to look this up. So it is named after, I'm going to get it wrong, Walter Mondale. Who is from Minnesota, and they're the Minnesota Twins. It's odd they would bring politics into it, though. I'm surprised.
Well, Brandon was very political. And
that's right.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Wrote for the newspaper. Makes sense.
Does that mean you're political?
Now? I don't know who Rondale, what you said Mondale is. I'm not good with like politics or American history. Pre-902
newspaper. I would write like the horoscopes.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am not book smart. I am street smart.
Can we go back to Andrea or Andrea? When did the name change?
Well, according to Gab,
yeah,
it was Andrea from the get-go.
Okay.
Well, she said that she knew. Do you remember this story? She was just telling it last summer when we did BH90210 that did she know Darren Star, and they knew someone in common always like would correct people and would say, no, it's not Andrea. Andrea. So when she came in for the audition, she actually brought that into it, and she thought that they liked that little quirk. And so it became part of the show. But we come to find out
that in the pilot, she's Andrea. And then moving forward, she's Andrea.
And don't even get you guys started on Ian Ziering.
Oh my gosh.
You guys,
don't,
please.
Sis, don't.
Please.
Say it.
Don't.
We know.
Don't.
Say his name wrong.
No.
His name is Ian, not Ian.
It's ruined me because I look at the name I-A-N and I say Ian no matter what. There's an artist right now that we talk about on Kiss. Ian Dior, and I can't tell you how many times I've called him Ian Dior on Kiss live on the air.
It's Ian's fault. It's all his fault.
I love that.
Nobody ever said Ian before Ian Ziering. Now everyone, now you can't not say Ian.
Right, and it was a thing. He would take it. It was personal.
No, so much so that last week we had Maxwell Caulfield on the show, and he said he was talking about Ian, and he said Ian. On the air.
I know.
And I was like, wait, it's Ian. But I don't think he heard me.
No.
And I was glad you said something because inside my heart dropped.
No.
Because we're programmed for 30 years.
Sweat. break free. Get out as quick as you can. Break free.
Run. It's coming.
Like, seriously? No, because he was, you know, he always would correct people. Yeah, and it wasn't his name.
And that was fine for him, but I always got so uncomfortable.
It was so hard as his friend to this day, if we're in a group and someone calls him Ian, we're all like,
it's like, man, a shock therapy or something. Like,
and then I just mouth,
I know.
So true. We just want people to get it right. We just want him to be happy. Yeah.
We love him.
There you go. There's your Ian lesson. Anything else that you guys want to touch on from this episode? Because one of the takeaways that just kind of like was a throwback for me was seeing the Walsh's house and in their kitchen, their telephone and the cord on the telephone being 50 feet long. And that was just so how life was back in the early 90s. Everyone had that kitchen phone.
A house line, like, it doesn't exist. That doesn't date us at all. Like that.
Remember that springy cord? Like, you would stretch it as far as you could.
Wrap your finger around it while you were talking.
You could go into another room and, like, close the door.
Yeah.
Now we just twirl our hair.
You have to get the really, really long one.
Get fidgety when we talk about Jason Priestley.
No, I feel like that phone, I that was the new style phone, but, you know, because you didn't have that one before, like, where you clamp it down on the thing and you rotate.
Okay, that was from, like, the 40s. That was it?
Oh, that was right before that. Anyway, so this phone was super cool. It was all, like, on one thing, handheld. With just
at this time, there was still cordless phones. Like, they existed because you guys had them. I think, like, Kelly Taylor's bedroom had a cordless phone or whatever.
Yeah, but didn't Kelly had a phone in her car?
Yeah, but for whatever reason, the kitchen phone always had a cord, and it was always 100 feet long, like, in every family's house.
In your car, remember, it had a cord as well.
Yeah, where'd that go? Where'd the cord go?
Oh, my God.
Did it go into the engine? Like, how does that? I don't understand these things.
No, that wasn't fake, because I had one, too.
No, remember they existed,
No, but did you have the brick phone that was, like, it was, like, holding a brick up to your face with a giant antenna sticking out of it?
So hot.
Yeah, we all had those.
Those were the days, man.
Well, it was Beverly Hills. It was giving the audience just a taste of luxury that the rest of America, I guess, didn't get to experience, you know?
Wait, can we talk about how we were talking earlier, how Shannon's hair was drastically different from the pilot to the second episode, first episode, you know?
Jen? Yeah, she got bangs.
Bangs? Brenda had bangs. And her hair was darker, I think.
Mm-hmm. Darker and
bangs.
It was
almost black.
Everyone else's hair kind of stayed the same. Oh, no. Yeah. Jason got rid of the mullet. Brandon didn't have a mullet in this episode.
Oh, was it different? I don't know. Just looking at his eyes.
Their relationship, Brandon and Brenda, is just, it was just so pure and lovely. As a twin mom myself of boy-girl twins, I only hope that they can have this fictional relationship like Brandon and Brenda did.
Let's hope.
Do you think Brenda and Brandon ever played doctor?
Really? I don't know.
Why are you going to?
Where are you going with
Where
that?
Are you gonna...
Sorry, is that creepy? No, because kids do it. No, they do it honestly. It's not like a creepy thing. But,
but what are you getting at?
I don't know. I don't know. But in BH 90210, we had a scene that was prompted because for years, it was all over the internet that the fans always thought there was a little bit of sexual chemistry between Brenda and Brandon. No. Look it up. Look it up.
Oh, my God. No, don't tell me things like this. This is so gross.
I was not in agreement with this, by the way.
I feel like I physically scarred Sisney just now.
Yeah.
Are you? My worry is when they become teenagers and they have their friends over and then, like, I have to be, like, on the lookout because there's going to be teenage hormones in the same age. Yeah.
Oh, this is all fictional. Don't worry. I'm just saying.
Fictional.
I'm just saying. So much so that in BH 90210, there is a dream sequence that Shannon has about her as Brenda and Brandon, and they make out.
What? How do I not remember this from BH
90210? That always used to write in about that question, we gave it to them.
Yeah, I couldn't watch those dailies.
It was hard.
I was the complete opposite. I was literally steering this. Like, it was just so beautiful to see how much they loved each other as brother and sister. And I actually got teary-eyed when she was reading his article and how he genuinely wanted her opinion at the end of the episode to, like, read my article for the newspaper. Mm. I'm like, I
so sweet.
Now you guys have made me feel bad that my mind went there. So I'm sorry.
But you're not the only one.
I was just saying what every fan has expressed over the years.
Look,
every pervy fan thinks.